Shushnigg attempted to rally international support. He couldn't. On March 12th, he called for a plebiscite to be held in Austria on March 12th to decide, did Austria would like to become part of Germany, some sort of linkage with Germany, not become part of it, but some sort of tighter linkage. Hitler was absolutely opposed to a plebiscite, the outcome of which he was not sure of. And with the threat of a German invasion of Austria clearly in the air. Now, the Austrian government buckled. Hitler was invited to come to Vienna, which he did in March of 1938, where on the spur of the moment, as he visited his old hometown of Linz, Hitler decided not simply that Austria would be linked with Germany in an Anschluss, a connection, but that Austria would actually be absorbed into Germany, that would become part of this greater German Reich. The major powers had stood aside during this annexation of Austria. It was wildly popular inside of Germany. This was this greater German Reich appeared to be now in the offing. And it set off similar sorts of demands by the German minority in Czechoslovakia. In the area, the mountainous area around Bohemia, now virtually surrounded by German Austria and Silesia, the Sudetenland, it was very largely German, been made part of Czechoslovakia as a result of the treaties of Versailles and subsequent agreements. Konrad Henlein, the head of the ethnic Germans there, began making all sorts of demands for either German autonomy of the Sudeten Germans within Czechoslovakia, or, as he spurred on by Berlin, emphasized the Germans of the Sudetenland wanted to come heim ins Reich, to come home to the Reich, to be made part of Germany. The Czech government in this situation in the late spring of 1938 actually mobilized their troops against a possible German invasion. Hitler backed down and was absolutely furious about this. But then, by the fall, Germany once again began to put pressure on the Czechs. At the Nuremberg Party rallies in September, Hitler had once again said that he didn't know how long he could restrain the fury, the outrage of the German population at the mistreatment of the German minority in Czechoslovakia, particularly in the Sudetenland. And while at the same time, of course, Konrad Henlein and the Sudeten Germans were being encouraged to provoke confrontation, to make impossible demands on the Czech government so that, indeed, a crisis would develop there. Europe, at this point, really appeared to be teetering on the brink. For one thing, Czechoslovakia had an agreement, a treaty, with both France and with the Soviet Union. If Germany were to invade Czechoslovakia, France was obligated to come to Czechoslovakia's aid. The Soviet Union was obligated to come to Czechoslovakia's aid if France did first. The Soviet Union did not want to be drawn into a war over Czechoslovakia, only to have the French back out and the Germans attack Czechoslovakia and the Soviet Union. In the fall of 1938, Europe seemed to be sliding toward the same kind of diplomatic crisis that the summer of 1914 had witnessed. A major power threatens a smaller state. Alliances are then, the logic of alliances then began to come into play, and war over what was the likely outcome? A war over the Sudetenland? Was France going to honor its obligations to go to war with Germany in 1938 because an overwhelmingly German ethnic area was demanding some form of autonomy within Czechoslovakia and maybe possibly even secession from Czechoslovakia? Europe appeared headed toward a major confrontation. Britain and France made preparations, military preparations. And the Soviet Union, all through the mounting crisis over the Sudetenland, was beating the drum. If it comes to war over Czechoslovakia, the Soviet Union would honor its obligations to the Czech state. This looked to be a terrifying replay of July 1914. What was going to be the outcome? Would Europe go to war in the fall of 1938? Would it stumble into war, slide into war, as many felt it had in the summer of 1914? The Treaty of Versailles by this point was utterly dead, destroyed. But would war come in 1938 as a result of German aggressive policies? This is a story we will take up in our next lecture when we look at the evolution of the international system in Europe between 1919 and 1939, punctuated by what came to be this Czech crisis and, of course, the Munich Agreement, which concluded it on September 30th, 1938.